Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, we had quite an introduction to Jeremiah already. So thank you, Sufe. Thank you. So, did you ever wonder about Jeremiah's life before he was a prophet? What did he do as a child? What games did he play? You think he played football? How was he brought up and taught? Scripture doesn't tell us very much about that. You know, we do know this. We know his father, Hilkiah, was one of the priests who were in Anathoth in the land of Benjamin. That's what Scripture says. We also know he was born a couple decades before the fall of Jerusalem in 586 B.C. You could figure that out from history. But that's about it. And instead of Jeremiah, as Sufe mentioned, wrote two books of the Old Testament, the long book of Jeremiah and the book of Lamentations. But he didn't write a biography. It wasn't about him. Jeremiah describes his youth in a single sentence. He says, "Now the word of the Lord came to me." And that's it. That's all we really need to know about this prophet. The word of the Lord came to him. And when the word of the Lord came to him, it was the single most important event in his life. What's the single most important event in your life? Maybe it's that the word of the Lord came to you. Well, in the same way that the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, the word of the Lord comes to you too. For better or worse, the word of the Lord comes to us. And the word of the Lord has an effect on us. And the word of the Lord forms us and shapes us and makes us into who God wants us to be. The word of the Lord has that effect on people. And that's because the word of the Lord is not some dead and lifeless word from thousands of years ago, but a living word, an active word, a mighty word, a powerful word. And it creates and shapes and transforms. In the beginning, God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. Like that. Instantaneously. When the angel Gabriel came to Mary, he said to her, the word of the Lord is this, that you're going to conceive by the power of the Holy Spirit, and you're going to bear a son, and you're going to call his name Jesus. And that's what happened, because God said so. And it took a little longer, 9 months, before she would have the son. God's word can work instantaneously or can work over a period of time like 9 months in a pregnancy or can work over longer periods of time. Sometimes it's like a seed that's planted, as Jeremiah says, "I'm going to send you to build and to plant." You're going to plant with the word of God. Sometimes it's going to take a while. It's going to take a while because it's going to seem like winter out there when nothing germinates and nothing, it seems, is growing. Just wait. Just wait. And all that snow that's out there that seems to prevent anything from growing and all that cold that's out there and in the spring all that melt and runoff, which we're going to see enough of, I guess, this week. And in the months to come, well, all that is going to water that seed and help it to grow. That's the way the word of the Lord works sometimes. Just ask Jeremiah. The word of the Lord came to him. But the thing was, Jeremiah wasn't looking for it. He didn't sit down one day and say, I think I'll be a prophet. And he didn't go online and do like one of those courses, you know. What do you want to be? Career choices. And he didn't think, oh yeah, I'm going to go be a prophet because of all the great benefits. The word of the Lord came to him. And the word of the Lord came and was powerful and active in his life. And he heard the word of the Lord. And it sounded like this. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I made you holy. And Jeremiah, I appointed you way back then, before you were even born. I appointed you, I chose you to be a prophet to the nations. Isn't that just like God? He knows people. He knows people before you're born. And he consecrates them and sets them apart for his purposes, which only he knows at that time. We get to see him later. And these people are his vessels, his earthen vessels that he's going to use for a purpose. Just like he used Jeremiah for a purpose. People who are chosen by him. People who are loved by him. People who he knows from the beginning. Now, Jeremiah wasn't picked because he was a great speaker. God didn't go out and hold an audition for, you know, who's got the greatest voice? Who's going to be the best preacher? Who's going to be the most charismatic pastor out there? It wasn't a trial. It wasn't an audition. God chose him in advance. Paul says, God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of the Lord. Jeremiah can't boast in the presence of the Lord because of what Jeremiah did. Pastor Nichols certainly can't either. And you can't either. It's entirely by grace. God's riches at Christ's expense. Grace. And you think about it. God isn't ashamed to use human beings. He's not ashamed of human beings. And think about this in your life. God is not scared by who you are or by what you've done. God is not scared of who you are. He knows who you are. He knows who you are since even before you were formed in the womb. He knows who you were going to be, and he knows all the stuff that you're going to do. And he's not afraid to use human beings who have human weaknesses. In fact, he says, that's how I'm going to show my power. I'm going to take what's weak and lowly and put Jeremiah, I'm going to put my words in your mouth. It's not your words that I'm putting there. I'm putting my words in your mouth. Because your words don't have any power. Mine do. God is not scared of the weakness of our flesh. So God calls Jeremiah and appoints him as prophet to the nations. Jeremiah says, "Then the Lord stretched out his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, 'Behold, I have put my words in your mouth.'" God fills Jeremiah's mouth with the living, active, powerful word of God. And he says, "This word," not you, Jeremiah, "this word will be over nations and over kingdoms, to pluck up and break down, to destroy and to overthrow, and to build and to plant." It's law and gospel right there. Jeremiah says, "You got the wrong guy. I'm just a youth. I don't know anything. Maybe you're looking for the guy next door." "Who, me?" And the Lord says, "Just wait. Wait and see what I'm going to do with you, youth. Wait and see what I'm going to do through you with my word in a human mouth, in the body and blood that I created, the life I created, and I mean you. And I'm sending you to speak my word, to preach repentance to my people, even though they don't want to hear it, to call them back from idolatry and sin, to tell them what's going to happen because of their sin." So the gracious and merciful Lord sends Jeremiah to call sinners to repentance and then to comfort them with God's promise of the gospel. It didn't make Jeremiah's life easy. He was sent to proclaim judgment, and lots of it. Jerusalem would be destroyed. That book that Sue Fay was talking about, called Lamentations, it's about the lamentations of Jeremiah over his people, his own people in his own country, in his own city, in his own town, in his own temple and church, and all the people that he loved who were going to be destroyed or carried off into exile. You think you've got it bad? And yes, Jeremiah would lament. It means he would moan about it. And he would complain about it. And he would cry about it. Because do you moan or complain or cry in your life? I do. Way more than I should. We live in a world in distress. But God says to Jeremiah, the same thing that he says to you today. He says, "Fear not, for I will be with you to deliver you." And he gives a promise. In Jeremiah, you got to wait a couple chapters before he gets to it. God would again build up his people and make them something new by forgiving their sins. Jeremiah says he's going to plant a righteous branch in your midst. That's what he says to the people of Jerusalem. All you who are going to be overthrown and destroyed and thrown down and killed, in your midst, right in the middle, God's going to plant a righteous branch. A righteous branch. A good thing. And it's going to grow. That righteous branch is Jesus. That's who he's pointing to. The Christ, the Messiah, the anointed one who's going to save his people from their sins. And you heard in the gospel how Jesus comes to the town of Capernaum. I've been there. I've seen it. And right across the street from where the synagogue is, they think is the place where Peter's house was. You could see it. It's like you walk out. I mean, it's like the other side of the parking lot. That's how far away it is. Where Jesus heals Peter's mother-in-law. I don't know if Peter was on good terms with his mother-in-law and he was happy or not. I assume he was. But Jesus comes into their midst in the middle of the synagogue, in the middle of Peter's house, and heals. This is the righteous branch that was come and sent for you, for us. And he does it with his word, just as he did in the synagogue, casting out a demon with his word, healing with his word. He rebukes a fever. I've never rebuked a fever. And sends it out of her. The Lord said, Lord Jeremiah, I am with you to deliver you. So even when people oppose you and speak against you, when you try to share the word of God with them and they don't want to listen, it's not you they're rejecting, it's me, God says. Jesus too would be rejected and condemned and crucified. And on that cross, God's word seems to be powerless and weak and ineffective, but it's not. Because on that cross where Jesus was crucified, where he looked the picture of weakness and ineffectiveness, your sins were forgiven. Just as he promised. Just as he promised to raise up that righteous branch. Just as he promised to deliver you and forgive you, he does that. The word of the Lord comes to you today just as effectively. And he heals you. And all those things that are part of your life, all those things that you moan and complain and lament about, and all the reasons for those things, and by the way, all the moaning and complaining and lamenting, he comes and Jesus comes and he takes those upon himself. And he takes those to the cross and they're nailed to the cross with him so that you don't have to bear them anymore. Those are no longer your burdens. Those are his. Brothers and sisters in Christ, maybe you're not called to be a prophet to the nations like Jeremiah, but you're called to be a baptized child of God, which is good enough. To live in faith towards him and fervent love toward one another. Listen, he has chosen and consecrated you. He knew you before he formed you in the womb. And he is making you to be the person that he wants you to be. And it's not just for your sake. He didn't make Jeremiah who he was going to be for Jeremiah's sake alone, but for all the people who heard Jeremiah and even for us today. And he's using you not just for your sake, but for the sake of your son or your daughter. For the sake of your husband or wife. For the sake of your family. And if you have a job, maybe for the sake of your coworkers or your boss, whoever thought of that. It's not for you. Who, me? Guess what? It's not just about you. For Jesus' sake, he says, you are a chosen race, a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, you, a people for my own possession, God says. And we want to protest and say, Lord, who, me? Why me? You don't want me. can't mean me. Lord, you don't understand my past, my background, my history. Yes, he says. In spite of that, maybe because of that, I'm going to use you for my purposes, not yours. By his word, listen to this, by his word, he intends to make something of you. You may wonder how this may be. The Lord says, just let it be. Let it be. Watch what I can do through you. Watch what I can do despite or even because of your weakness. And he says, don't worry. I will be with you. I'll be there to deliver you. Same promise he made to Jeremiah. Behold, I will be with you to the end of the age, Jesus says. So your life, like Jeremiah's, has been marked by the word of God, by the word of his promise, the promise of his presence. And his word that he has planted in your heart already will deliver you. So later on, when we pray the Lord's Prayer and we say, deliver us from evil, we pray that when our last hour comes, that he would give us a blessed end. That he would take us out of this valley of sorrow to himself in heaven. And on the last day, when Jesus comes himself, we believe that he will raise us and Jeremiah to be with him, to life eternal. The word that began this good work in Jeremiah and in you, our Lord will bring to completion the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.